This is your host, Christina Nitschmann. Each week, Savvy runs weekly broadcasts providing entrepreneurs and successful individuals a platform to express their dreams, hopes, lessons learned, expertise, and wisdom with the world.
Our first guest today is Rob Zarelli of Zarelli Training and Consulting. Rob has spoken to corporate audiences across the nation and has created the Leadership Institute, a nationally recognized university-style training program used at state, regional, and national sales and leadership conferences. Today, Rob shares with us how to build meaningful relationships. Find out more about Rob at AskRobZ.com. Hi, Rob. Welcome to Savvy Central Radio. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you, Christina. And thank you for having me. It's an honor and a privilege to be a part of your show.
Oh, you betcha. You're doing amazing work out there helping entrepreneurs. And we're going to touch on a whole bunch of really important topics today, from building strong relationships through effective communications, how to overcome adversities in your business, and one of my personal favorites that we're going to touch on, attitude, how attitude, the proper attitude, can really help you grow towards success. But before we go to any of this, share with the audience a little bit about your background and what brought you to the world of entrepreneurship.
Well, I'd be happy to. Well, first of all, I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York.
Woo-hoo!
This is a 30-minute show, so usually it takes me about that long to introduce myself. I joke a lot with folks. English as a second language when you grow up in Brooklyn, that is true. I joke and say to people that I speak three languages fluently, Brooklyn, New Jersey, and Long Island. So with that being said, graduated from St. John's University, quickly went into the business world, began a stint with a publishing company, and knew right away I wanted to make something of myself, and became a top salesperson, aspired to be successful, drove myself through the fear of failing, as many people do that are listening to your program. Mm-hmm. Quickly became a top salesperson for a particular company in New York City two times over. Now, I was certainly happy about that and thrilled about that. And I never forget receiving the award that the company gave out at a very large conference. In this particular case, back-to-back in Acapulco and Hawaii. However, it wasn't, Christina, until I trained and developed and was part of giving an individual affection, correction, and direction to be successful, and they received the very honor that I did, a top salesman honor, and they got up and thanked me for their for my support. I knew pretty much right there that I got more joy, and it sounds Pollyanna, and forgive me for sounding a little canned here, but I got more joy out of helping someone else succeed than I got from being successful myself. And it was a springboard for bigger and better things. I started my own company in New York, a publishing company. However, I was going through a rough spot in my personal life. I needed to be closer to Florida. My son, who was about 18 months old, was living in Florida with my soon-to-be ex-wife. And every weekend I would be on a plane and I would go down to Florida to be with him, to spend weekends with him. And I began my career in Florida. I went to work for the Flyer magazine, a local company in Tampa, Florida, and climbed the ranks from running a call center to executive VP to eventually being the general manager and partner of the organization here in the Tampa Bay area. In 2009, as many of us experienced downsizing, I was part of that downsizing and decided at that point to start my own organization. That's when Zarelli Training and Consulting began. I haven't looked back, and it's been a very rewarding, honestly, a very rewarding and fulfilling opportunity to help others, both in sales, marketing, leadership, personal growth, and development.
Yeah. And what I'm gaining from you here, when you spoke earlier about how much it's been rewarding for you helping people, I gathered it also helped you learn better these topics yourself. Because I know for me, several years back, I was taking dance, and then my teacher put me in charge when he left to teach the class. And wow, did I learn tenfold when I was able to help others learn my knowledge. It helped me learn it even deeper. Was that the case for you as well?
Oh, absolutely. Great point, by the way. And every day, companies are promoting their top salesperson, their top performer, their top dancer, and trying to put them in leadership positions. Mm. And that's good for me because those folks fail all the time because they haven't been trained to be leaders unless they're passionate like yourself, unless they really care about others. To train and teach others, something that I became very passionate about some time ago, is something that is, you have to be very unselfish, you have to be very giving, and you have to care, you really do, to teach and train others.
Yeah.
And you learn along the way. I said recently on a show, and I spoke to Duke Energy, a large company here in the Southeast, and I told them that one of the things that has helped me is trial by error, failing. John Maxwell's book, Failing Forward, is one of my, I enjoy that book because it's about failing. It's about learning from your failures and leadership and training and teaching others. It's a trial by error. And growing up in the streets of Brooklyn, I did a lot of that as a youngster in Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah, yeah. And what I found for me is when you're teaching some sort of concept and the student isn't grasping it, it's like, okay, now how do I need to say this in a way that they can get it? Because people learn differently. Maybe it's through sight, maybe it's auditorily, maybe it's kinetically. But I found that by trying to see what angle they understood the information at, I learned it deeper and got the information more ingrained into myself. Now, this brings to mind for me, because a lot of people listening in are business owners, and one of the top things we get asked is about sales. And one thing that's missed when it comes to getting sales is how important is building relationships to it? Effective relationships that will, real relationships, not going somewhere and just passing out business cards and saying, oh yeah, please buy my stuff. Explain a little bit about how we can build deeper relationships through effective communication.
Well, if you don't mind, Christina, I want to go back just a second. You said something that triggered something. You were talking about transferring skills and being in the class. And one of the most motivating things for me was sitting in an audience or sitting in a classroom and having a teacher who was boring or monologue or didn't know how to share concepts. Yeah. And one of the things really training and consulting me individually, what I do when I do keynote speeches, when I train or consult, is I try to create simple, easy to understand concepts and ideas that people can apply immediately. You sit in these workshops, in these classrooms, and you sit there for 3 hours, and after 20 minutes, you glaze over and you go, what's the point?
It's like information overload. It's like, exactly. How does this apply to anything?
Yeah. Exactly. So getting back to your question, effective, look, it's real simple. Life is all about building meaningful relationships. 85% of all of our happiness personally and our success professionally is the result of meaningful relationships. If relationships are important to you in your personal and professional life, there is one thing you need to do is to become an effective communicator. Mm-hmm. However, too many people think communication is a form of speaking when really, as Gary Chapman teaches you in the 5 love languages, communication is a love language and it's about listening. It's about giving the people you care about your time and your attention. You know, I've been in many circumstances where you're in a room full of people and there's always that one person that's talking to you and talking to you and talking to you. And he's trying to impress upon you how how smart he is and that he's the smartest person in the room. Mm. And it's that person who walks up to you and begins to ask you questions, mm-hmm. and begins to listen to the answers and then ask you follow-up questions and shows you he or she cares about the answers. Mm-hmm. That person, Christina, makes you feel like the most important and the most intelligent person in the room. Mm. That, to me, mm-hmm. builds rapport and builds relationships. Salespeople all over the country mm-hmm. miss the most important aspect of selling. Mm. It is listening, because communication mm-hmm. is the key to building relationships. However, listening is the key to communication. Mm. And listening, and please jump in here anytime if I'm on. But I get very passionate about this, and I get very energized about this, because listening is not shutting up so that mm-hmm. you can wait for your turn to talk. Listening is not, figuring out the rebuttal to the person's argument.
Yeah.
I created a definition for listening, and your listeners, they can share with others, and that is to be completely committed to hearing the speaker's message before formulating a response. Not easy to do, by the way.
Yeah.
Very difficult.
So true, Rob. And I learned this listening skill bit by bit. I'm still learning. I would never say I've reached the pinnacle of all understanding in that area. But when I first started doing my business and also this podcast, I used to step all over my guests in the beginning, and my boyfriend would listen in and say, "Will you stop that? Will you just listen to your guests and let them finish your thought before you start talking?" And it was because I was scared of sounding stupid and not being able to know what to say when they finished, that my mind would be going 300 miles an hour going, "Oh, I have to have an answer formulated. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh." And I found that when I just cleared my mind and really focused on what the other person was saying and engaged, like you are with a girlfriend at a coffee shop, that I would have an answer naturally. I wouldn't have to think about it. I would just, when they stopped talking, I'd be like, "Okay, here's my input on that." And it became a natural flow of conversation back and forth. And now that's what's helped our podcast become popular and successful, is that real, true sharing of each other, both of us sharing the platform together.
So true. Mm-hmm. However, you have to be unselfish to be a good listener.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. as you just spoke, it took me a conscientious effort to be completely committed mm-hmm. to being in your frame of mind and feel what you're feeling and think what you're feeling. Mm. And there's a reason, Christina, why people are not good at that. And the reason is because mm-hmm. we can listen at about 125 words a minute. However, we can think at about 1,000 words a minute.
Whoa.
So as you're speaking to me, I'm absorbing your 125 words a minute. However, my mind has plenty of space to wander and go elsewhere. I have a great acronym. Mm. The acronym is LADDER. By the way, I'm an acronym freak. And that's, again, goes back to that simple and easy way to learn and apply things. Mm-hmm. I have a simple acronym. It's LADDER. We don't have the time today to go into too much detail.
Yeah.
But some of the things that I teach in that acronym are so simple and so easy mm-hmm. to follow. And some of it has to do with don't interrupt. Mm-hmm. Don't, the D's in the word LADDER. Mm-hmm. First of all, physiology is so critical. Today we're talking and we're not together in a studio. So I'm looking at a little black cube, which is my speaker. So we're not able to, our physiology is certainly not on display here. However, physiology is so important when I'm speaking to an audience, you know, how you interact and, mm-hmm. and how you tune in. The other thing is asking questions mm. and it's not hear and speak. That's not, that mm. hearing is not listening. It's mm. Charlie Brown, you know, wah, 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 wah. We hear things all the time. When you listen, you mm. listen on purpose. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of reasons why we're poor listeners. You said it best a few mm-hmm. seconds ago.
Yeah.
When you said your boyfriend said you listen to your interviews. Well,
yeah.
The same reason why when we shake someone's hand, when we introduce ourselves, we walk away 3 seconds later and say these words, "What was his name again?" Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. We do that all the time, right? We shake mm-hmm. somebody's hand. We're too worried about ourselves. How do I look?
Yeah. Exactly.
Do I have a good handshake? How's my hair look? You know, did he like me? Did I make a good impression? Oh, by the way, it's not about me. It's more about him.
Yeah. So. And you mentioned how important is the visual component. We're not always face to face. Can tonality help with that? I mean, since most of the salespeople around the nation probably have to do most of their sales calls not in person, but the way we're doing this phone call interview. Can tonality help you connect to another person?
Oh, absolutely. Great point, by the way. Mm-hmm. The tonality. I draw circles on a board many times. I'm a very visual person. Mm-hmm. So if you saw me right now, my hands are flailing everywhere. You know, I'm an Italian from New York City, so you can appreciate that. So my hands are moving a mile a minute. And so I'm very visual. However, your tone in the sales environment is critical. So I draw two circles on the board many times, and I say concentrate on these two knobs. One is a volume knob. Hmm. The other is a speed knob. Hmm. You know, too often we are not connected to people because we're not in sync, right? Uh-huh. Communication, by the way, uh-huh. comes from a Latin word, communis, which means commonality. Hmm. Okay, so not to get too deep here, but commonality, right? In sync, right? Not that the boy group from 15 years ago, it's more about being in sync with your partner or the person you're having a conversation with. Mm-hmm. So that part of it, to be totally in sync with somebody, takes certain tone, certain inflection. So I talk about someone answers the phone and they say, "Hi, how are you?" You have to listen to one, their volume, and two, the speed in which they speak, because you have to get in sync with that person. Tony Robbins many years ago taught us about NLP, neural linguistic programming. Mm-hmm. Basically what it was is to be in sync with somebody. You've heard that term, mirroring and matching.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I have a funny story. I had a partner who went to a Tony Robbins workshop, and he came back and I put my hand on my cheek and folded my arms at my waist, and he started following all those things I was doing. And I said, "You're trying to match and mirror me." He goes, "Yeah, I just came back from a workshop." And that's overdoing it. The real way to be in sync with someone is to match their tone, to match the speed in which they speak. I'm doing it with you today a little bit. Mm-hmm. However, I'm really speaking to your audience. And if I sat here, Christina, and I talked all the time at this one level and began to talk to you at this low pace, I would probably lose half your audience. And if I talked really loud and really fast, New Yorkers and the Philadelphians probably would stay tuned in, but possibly the folks that are on vacation or are retired might not. So, very important.
Wow. Well, I never really thought of that. Now, I have heard of people who have studied NLP tell me how important it is to mimic, or as you say, mirror other people. And I've seen people try to do it with me. And as you were mentioning to your friend, it feels a little forced and fake, because mm-hmm. you feel like they're putting it on. Like I'm sitting here with my arms crossed and you cross your arms, unless they do it in a very subtle way. But it makes sense to me that the way you're saying it is that you're really, in essence, becoming in sync with me and my energy.
Absolutely. Perfect. If you don't mind, I'll probably use that in a workshop or a podcast or down the road, to be in sync with your energy. I love that. It's key. It's critical. I have to be in sync with your energy. But you know that word energy too?
Yeah.
I have to have energy. Forget about being in sync. Energy in the sales and marketing and leadership world is so key and critical. I talk about the threes: energy, enthusiasm, excitement. Uh-huh. Ralph Waldo Emerson, you know, nothing great ever happened in this world without enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. And too often sales professionals, leaders don't realize how important that is.
Mm. And I don't know about you, because I've worked in certain huge corporations where I've seen the sales department on sales calls, and they have this kind of forced enthusiasm and cheeriness, but it feels like they're putting it on. And I think the key is you have to come from, I'm really feeling this, not that I'm actually pouring it on stiffly.
Well, yeah, a great point. The feeling it is comes from a genuine place of curiosity. I talk to salespeople all over the country, and what I tell them all the time is you need a sense of curiosity. Mm-hmm. You have to care and have empathy. There's so many ingredients that, you know, whether it's a salesperson, a leadership individual, there are certain keys to being great leaders. Recently, I did a workshop on leadership, mm-hmm. and I was asked to do a keynote on leadership. And I said, how about I do a keynote on why we follow great leaders? And then he said, well, I'm not sure what's the difference. I said, the difference is I'm taking it from the point of view of the follower, not the leader. Hmm. I follow leaders who are respectful. I follow leaders who care about me, who are invested in. And I have to tell you that from a point of view, you have to be honest. You have to have integrity. You have to have character. So I created the workshop from a point of view of why would I follow you? I'll follow you if you're knowledgeable. I'll follow you if you're respectful. I'll follow you if you want to teach me to be better. So those are key things. But again, a lot of my workshops, I try to, going back to what we talked about, mm-hmm. make them easy to understand and apply. Knowledge is pretty useless.
Yeah.
And I'll finish my thought here. Last year, just about a year ago, I was speaking at a very large conference in Savannah, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And the conference was ending, and the group asked me to close the conference. And I got up on stage. They said, you got 5 minutes. Give us something to walk away with. And I walked up on stage and I said, well, you unfortunately wasted 3.5 days sitting here going through the classes and these workshops and these breakout sessions, unless, of course, you apply the knowledge you learned. Mm. See, we go to these workshops. We go to these classes. We listen. We write notes, and then we get back to our office and we throw it in the bottom right-hand drawer, and we go back to putting out fires and dealing with problems, and we just don't apply the knowledge we learn.
Mm. That intrigued me. Why is that so for most people?
Well, I'll tell you why it is so. Mm-hmm. It's so because a lot of the teachers or a lot of the classrooms we sit through, they don't reach in and grab us and energize us and give us the why. Okay, so I'm so glad you, and we haven't spoken before today to plan this. So you asked the question that led me to one of my most powerful keynotes that I love to talk about, and that's the why. So many people don't embrace what they learn or apply what they learn, because they don't have a why in their life. Your why determines your how. And what I mean by that is, without a purpose, without something driving you every day, you're never going to be successful, and you're never going to get where you want to go. It's the same thing with goals. You know, the Alice in Wonderland, remember? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have children, but Alice in Wonderland said, you know, to the Cheshire Cat, which road should I take? And the cat said, well, that depends on where you're trying to get to. And Alice said, I don't really know. And the cat said, well, then any road will do. You see, without your why driving you, the Wright brothers are a great example of that. Why did the Wright brothers invent the airplane? Your partner is a pilot. Mm-hmm. They invented, they had no money, they had no education, and they had no support, mm-hmm. while others had all of that and then some. The Wright brothers had a why. Mm-hmm. They had a purpose. They wanted to change the world, and they were invested in a purpose. It's kind of like you have eight people in a mm-hmm. boat rowing, and they're rowing, and they're rowing pretty darn well. But then you put on, swimming caps, and on the side it says breast cancer. Mm. And now they're rowing for a purpose. Mm. Now they're rowing for a bigger purpose. The bigger your why in life, the better you become. Oprah Winfrey did a show, and one of a sibling, a twin actually, needed to give the kidney to donate a kidney to his sibling, but he was terribly overweight. He needed to lose 80 pounds in like a short period of time, and he did it, donated the kidney, and it was a great ending to what could have been a bad story. And the sibling said, well, I had a big why. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a purpose. So the first thing I do is I tell people, you gotta figure out why you're here today. Why are you listening? Why are the people that are tuned into your show right now, your podcast right now, why are they tuning in? They want to get better. Yeah. They want to improve. Mm. They want to grow and they want to move forward. That's a big enough why. And that's when the how gets figured out.
Wow. That is so powerful. I mean, when I started my first business, financial consulting business, it wasn't my super passion. I did it in corporate America. I was good at it. And my ex-boss said, hey, I think you can make some pretty good cash if you turned it into a consulting business. And he was wrong. It didn't turn into super cash in the beginning. But the bigger problem was there was no why or purpose behind it. I didn't really care about it. It was just something I did in corporate. And now I'm just going to do it technically as a freelancer. But it wasn't until I met my mentor who set me on the road and said, what is your greatest passion in life? Like, if you could do it every day and you didn't get paid for it, what would it be? And I had forgotten completely what brought me joy or passion or purpose in my life. I totally become disconnected from myself. Through a lot of reflection, asking friends what they saw me doing, I came across starting this podcast initially, as I told you, for a marketing tool for my financial consulting business. But what happened in the process was I did find my greatest why and passion, which is Savvy. And what I love about podcasts is, as you just mentioned, we all connect as a community to help each other grow towards success. It's not just I have all the answers or you have all the answers. It's all of us together as a community bringing all of our wisdom to the table.
Collaboration is mm-hmm. what drives you. See, yeah. helping others drives you.
Yep.
And it's very powerful. It's purpose is a goal on steroids. you could have a goal, mm-hmm. you know, you could have it committed to writing, but when you give it a purpose, I show a great clip in training, Christina, and share it with your audience. I will now, but it's a clip from the movie We Are Marshall. And there's a great scene in that clip where Matthew McConaughey is being interviewed for a job that no one wants. It is the worst job. It is the job of being the coach of a football team that just recently, 75 football players, coaches, crashed. And you're probably familiar with the story. Mm-hmm. And the entire team perishes in an airplane crash. And Matthew McConaughey, the soon-to-be coach, is being interviewed, and the president of the university says, I'm curious, why would you want this job? And he looks out at his wife, and he looks out at his children, and he says, you know, when I heard about the crash, I thought about a school, I thought about students, I thought about community, mm-hmm. I thought about what it would feel like if I was part of that. And then I looked out at my wife and children and said, if anything ever happened to them, what could I do to help? And the why, his why is he wanted to be part of helping that community. And it drove him. It was a driving force. And that's your driving force, to help others. And that's what that's what Savvy Radio does.
Oh, well, thank you. Absolutely. And we all do it together as a community. And that's what's so totally awesome.
Yeah.
But I want people to find out where they can check out your wonderful broadcast, your classes, your courses, and if you're live somewhere where they can come check you out.
Well, I will actually be in San Diego at the end of April, and I do speak and do keynotes throughout the country. However, my website, my URL, my website is really training and consulting, but I made it really easy for people to find me. So you can go to askrobz.com. Seven letters, A-S-K-R-O-B-Z, like zebra. Zerilli, that's my last name, .com, AskRobZ.com. I have a wealth of information on my my website, and I'm very, hopefully it came through to your audience. I care an awful lot about what I do. I want to make an impact and help others. And when I do speak and when I do train, it's all about, you know, sharing ideas and concepts that can be applied immediately.
Yeah, absolutely. I can totally feel that. I mean, you've done it today here with the audience. Mm-hmm. And I even your website screams service because it's Ask Rob Z. It's about asking me a question, or, you know, so it's about coming from a mindset of service.
Well, thank you for that. And yes, absolutely. And I've been blessed to be in an industry where now it's about, you know, I did it for me for a lot of years, and now I'm doing it as a give back, and I enjoy it. And family and helping others, those are my two passions in life.
It's such a great way to end our broadcast because one thing I found for myself when I first started my financial consulting business and even back in corporate is I was so focused on the end result of quote unquote what we think success is. We have this idea that success will mean millions of dollars in the bank, or, you know, VIP executive, or, you know, whatever it might be. Your business is bringing in $1 million. But at the end of the day, it's what impact am I making that is making me have that big why, that big excitement to jump out of bed in the day? Mm-hmm. And there are a heck of a lot of rich people out there, or VPs of executives of businesses, corporations, who are unhappy. And you don't have to be. There is another way that if you combine and cause a collaborative effort with other people and make it not about yourself, that you can all have a fabulous life together, living our gifts and talents in the world.
Absolutely. I so agree. And it works. It really does. And I look for, I know we ran short of time and we didn't cover a few other things that we had planned on it, but hopefully we could do it another time.
You betcha. We want you back. It's been awesome, Rob. Everyone, please go to askrobz.com and find out more about Rob and his wonderful business. And thank you again, Rob, for coming to Savvy Central Radio and sharing your gifts and talents today.
Christina, it was a real pleasure. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye now.